Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this beautiful night of May 8th of the year of our Lord and our Savior 2021. Believe it or not, it seems to me like we're going to Christmas. It's cold, it is crispy, and I don't see any snow, and I'm glad it did not rain. But with us tonight from Mississippi, the one and only one, the greatest producer and the co-host, Christy Johnson, where it's warm and summer. Hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, Usama, it's warm and spring, okay? When summer gets here and it's warm, it's hot and it's sweaty and it's miserable. But it's very nice here right now, and I'm so thankful for the good weather.
I have to put the heat on, Christy, if you can imagine. If you put the heat on, it means it's really cold. We have the furnace running, otherwise we'll freeze. But the 50s in May, this never happened before. I think it is global warming. Thank God we have Joe Biden in the White House because he's going to fix that problem, and we're not going to have any problem after that. Anyway, how is things going with you, Christy?
Usama, it's great to be here tonight, and I have been reviewing interesting stories and news and all kinds of stuff. Today, I usually try to make sure I get updated on things, especially on Saturday, which is the one and only day that I get to converse with you. And
absolutely.
It's so wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You make my night, girl.
I'm glad you're happy. Well, one of the things that happened to me, I still have a Facebook page, and I want you to know I really am angry with Facebook. But because we have our primary, people that watch us and connect with us through that avenue, I haven't had the heart to eliminate Facebook yet. But here's the thing. I got a memory that popped up today, and it's May 4th of 2011. So you'll see this on our slideshow tonight. And it's me and Brandon House and Usama Dakhdar at a Worldview Weekend conference, May 4th, 2011. And that popped up on my Facebook page today. So
man, that is...
You're
talking about 12 years ago, 13 years ago?
No. Only 11 years ago. I mean, I'm sorry, 10 years ago, exactly. But you met Brandon House before that. We actually worked on getting you connected with Brandon House for quite a while before you actually met him in person. But you were speaking for him at this particular event and a number of other events, too. But this one is where I got to attend one time.
Thank you.
And so there's a picture there of the three of us. It's really blurry, too. It's a bad picture.
Who cares? That does not show your age. You don't want people to see your real pictures.
Well it looks like I was very blurry 10 years ago. At least I'm not blurry anymore.
So did you have any eye surgery? Did you fix your glasses or something? What's going on?
No, it wasn't. It was the picture that was blurry, not my eyesight. So.
Okay. I thought you are blurry, but not the picture. Okay,
the photo of us is blurry. But we were there. I don't know who took the picture, but it wasn't me because I'm in the picture. So whoever took it, it was kind of blurry. But anyway, it was a nice memory to kind of commemorate a period of a decade. Time here with Usama, and I brought it up because I want to make sure that as you and I are talking, and we want people to listen to us, and I think I get way too involved with politics and how that's all impacting our country and the election and how that's all impacting our country. But we can't share all that information every time on this program, although I try to touch base on those issues. But Chisama, there are a lot of good sources of information out there, and one of them is the new Frank Speech platform. Mm-hmm. You are on it. I was listening to Sharam Hadian on there also tonight. Brandon House is on there. You are on there. And this is a place where Mike Lindell has put the absolute interference, absolute proof, and these films that are so important, Isama, for people to see. So I want people to know, go to Frank's Speech and watch those videos. And it's going to become more and more important as you're watching what's happening with these election recounts. But here's the problem. The stations that are covering the election recounts, they're talking about it's a fraud. It's a lie. They're cheating. They shouldn't be recounting. So I put up on our slideshow several places you can get some truth about what's going on with these recounts. And one of them, mm-hmm. of course, is Frank's Speech. The other one is the One American News Network that I watch all the time. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. other one is Real America's Voice. I put these up on the slideshow, folks, so that you can actually see what they look like. You can get to them and watch their programming free. In one case, it's $250 a month to get the live channel on your computer right now.
$250 a month?
$2.50.
Okay. $2.50. That's okay. That's good. I thought $250.
No, and you can watch a lot of it free. It's just if you want to see it all the time live streaming. I actually pay for it. It's well worth the money that I have on my TV. But
can you help me give me a little bit money towards mine? Like a dollar or something a month? Can you help me out?
For what?
Give me a dollar something so I can download it in my phone, my computer. Just kidding, Chrissy. I don't get your jokes.
When you start talking about money, to me, there's no jokes. It's all
agony. Absolutely.
But it's like a dollar. Okay, let me go look at my budget on the wall there. I think I can squeeze a dollar out
nothing.
For you. Something.
Hey, I think we normally give you a raise, Chrissy. This time of the year, we normally give you a raise. Especially it is purse people, you know, all purse people around this time will give you a raise, purse person.
You know what?
So,
if you're going to call me that, I am not taking the raise. So you just keep it.
That's offensive.
Makes me sick.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, you know what? No. Seriously, before I forget, I was watching cartoon and hey, person, the guy in the cartoon is talking to another guy and he call him person because whatever. So that's exactly in the agenda. Start with our children. Teach them about other people are not man or woman, but they're person, okay? So, okay. They're doing a great job to infiltrate our children with cartoon, and we're growing up too. Go ahead, Cynthia. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, Isama, don't watch that stuff. I mean, seriously. The TV that is out there for kids, for teenagers, it's all about that. And that's what I'm trying to communicate about watching these other news sources. You could get rid of your cable TV completely and see things that are much better online and on television. Of course, I use Roku to do that, but I put these pictures up there. There's a great program called Firewall with Lance Wallnau. These are programs where they emphasize the importance of Christianity and God and the foundation of our country. It's something that you will not see on these other channels. And another channel that I wanted to tell people about is now I got to pull it up so I can make sure I give the right information, is again Frank TV, Real America's Voice. And you're going to see that even Fox News, and I'm sad for this, Newsmax has decided to back off. They will not say a word about the Dominion machines, and that's why I'm emphasizing this. These individuals and our government harassing the people who are trying to get to the bottom of election fraud. So these stations are scared to death, Fox News among them. There's a couple of people on Fox that I do like, Maria Bartiromo on the Business Channel and Tucker Carlson. They're bringing these things up still, but just like Newsmax, conservative channel, now they're afraid to say anything about voter fraud because of lawsuits by Dominion. So just keep in mind, you've got to be choosing where you're going to get your information, because Jesus said, if you're my disciples, indeed, it's because you continue in my word and you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. We have to know the truth. And there is so much deception, as we talked about in Matthew 24 last week, so much deception, it is so hard for people to find the truth. And that's why I'm emphasizing these things, because, you know, Usama, I got a little news flash, a wonderful another news source that I really like is called Worthy News. They are being censored now, and I went to go to one of their articles that I was going to share tonight. I got a thing up there telling me, oh, this has been blocked. I managed to get to it anyway, but you're going to see more and more and more of this stuff. So you never know. I mean, there's such a thing as shadow banning. When I put out information about our program tonight, I never know if actually people are really able to see it, because it tells me they are seeing it. It tells me that when I sent it to a page, it was seen. But I can't prove that it's actually being seen by anyone. That's what shadow banning is. You don't know that you're being blocked. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the things that I looked up are being blocked.
I understand that. I understand. And it's not going to get easier, Christy.
No.
Nope. It's going to get harder and harder as we go until we have a true revolution, which means literally true revolution, where all these people, all the conservative, all the American, all those who love the freedom and liberty which God given us in this land, stand up and do something about it. You cannot push people. Well, one of the two, they can get rid of all of us, kill all of us, or we shut them down and throw them from prison. One of the two. You're not going to have it the third way. What is the third way, Christy?
You're exactly right, Usama. There is no third way, but this is what is important to know, is that now one of the articles, A.G. Garland, DOJ seeks additional $85 million for domestic terrorism probes. They are not going to use this money to probe Islamic terrorism.
No,
this
no.
is There's about no. the conservatives and the – yes, and that's why I'm saying things are not going to get better just by accident. But you know what's sad? This is the part where I asked the question in the program, the little thing about our program. Are Christians going to stand up? Are they going to stand up for what is right? Or are they going to say, like I've heard many of them say, oh, well, I guess it's just how God's going to do it. The Lord's going to get us any day. They just want to do nothing. And I'm sorry, but I don't see that that's scriptural. I don't see that that's biblical. And it frustrates me. You know, I feel sad about it because, you know, they want to do nothing and go, oh, well, I guess it's over. And this isn't right. Plus, you know that on January 6th, because there were a lot of Christian ministers and people involved when the people went to the event in Washington, D.C., where Trump was speaking.
Yeah.
And many evangelical Christians renounced that group because they believed the lie that it was Christians that went in there and beat up someone and killed someone, which that story was a complete fraud. This is why I'm emphasizing this about make sure you know where you're getting your news. The police officer, the Capitol police officer, was not killed by the people who went into that building. No, he wasn't. They said, oh, he was hit by a Trump supporter with a fire extinguisher. That was a total lie. That never happened.
Sure.
And that has all been verified. But do you see the news recanting that story and saying,
we don't know how we got that?
You know, it's just, it's sad. It's sad. It's sad. So this is why you need to pay attention to where you're getting the news, because there is a thing called propaganda, and your mainstream media, even your cable news networks, are providing propaganda. It's very, very serious what we're facing in our country. And Christians, if you don't know what's going on, you can sit back and say that there's nothing for you to do. You better be praying. You better be seeking and asking God if there's something you can do, because for one thing, you are supposed to speak the truth and stand up for what is right. You're supposed to do that. And there's not a time that you're not supposed to do that. But we saw what happened in Germany. If people are not familiar with that, the Christians failed in Germany. They failed to do anything about Hitler, and the cost cannot be calculated, the misery and the damage that was done by the German National Socialist Movement. My friend, you hear this word socialism thrown around all the time here, and people don't know what it means. Young people especially don't know, because they're not even being educated about it. But Hitler and the Nazis were the National Socialist Party of Germany. And that's just the tragedy of what's happened in our public schools. We've been talking about that for years. Anyway, please pay attention. I put a lot of those pictures on the slideshow so that you can see some of the good sources of news that you can get to. Many of them are experiencing censorship. Many of them are struggling to stay alive and be able to continue to provide the truth. But Christian, you have the discernment of what is true. The Holy Spirit can give you that discernment. When you know what's true, you need to stand for and speak out. Anyway.
Wonderful.
You still with me?
Wonderful Christian. I'm still here. I'm still here. So what else do we have on our agenda for tonight?
Okay, well, quickly, I had a couple of stories, so let me touch on them. Biden's National Day of Prayer, he took a lot of heat because he never mentioned God when he was talking about prayer. And
if he mentioned God, he's going to upset the socialists and communists and the atheists and other people who do not believe in God. So the best thing, you have National Day of Prayer, we don't have to mention God. What do you need to mention God for? Make everybody happy, especially the one on the left.
Well, it is sad because he has had these issues before in his administration, like ending a prayer with a man and a woman.
A woman! No, but now we cannot say a woman. We have to say a person.
Okay, if I hear that again, I'm going to scream. That is so
disgusting. Go ahead. Make my night.
Anyway.
So
I had another story, though, talking about how important it is to pay attention. If you're a Christian, you cannot ignore politics. I'm sorry, you can't, especially in this country. But let's talk about what was happening in Finland. This story was really disturbing to me. A Finnish prime minister charged with hate speech for sharing biblical views on marriage and sexuality.
Ooh.
She was charged with 3 counts of hate speech. Now, we're not talking in a communist country. We're talking Finland. She was charged with 3 counts of hate speech because she publicly shared her biblical views on marriage and sexuality. She was subject to lengthy interviews and a year of waiting before the Finnish prosecutor general finally decided to bring charges against her. A medical doctor, former minister of the interior, and current member of parliament, Rasanen became the subject of a police investigation in June 2019 because active in her Finnish Lutheran church, she had questioned why the leadership of her congregation had not sponsored or not only sponsored, she questioned why they not only sponsored the Pride 2019 LGBT event, but also included a passage of scripture alongside their official written endorsement. Now, she had objected to this and said they shouldn't be doing that. She now faces 2 years of imprisonment for each charge. This is not in communist China. It's not in Pakistan. It's not in Afghanistan. It's not in Egypt. This is in Finland.
Believe me, if this would happen in Egypt, she will never be charged with anything. She will not have literally, she'll be free and she'll be honored in the Muslim country of Egypt. With the people of the West are losing their mind. The free world are becoming slavery states. And God help us, because we're just digging our own graves with our own hands.
Well, this is why I wanted to bring this story up, because I have Christian people I know who feel like they don't need to pay attention to any of this corruption in the government and the theft of the election. And they don't want to know about it, and they don't want to have a controversy about it. I'm sorry. This woman is in the parliament. She was prime minister of the interior in Finland. She's now facing 6 years in prison over her biblical view of marriage and sexuality. America, you need to wake up. God is giving us the warning bells, and there is a time of repentance that needs to come. But why will people repent if Christians don't speak out and call the accounting and the truth of what's happening here? We are the ones responsible. If you know the truth, you're responsible for it. I'm sorry, but this lady in a what we consider, you know, European country with elections, and we didn't even read about them having election frauds there. But it's sad. So I just hope that everyone terrible. Will take it to heart that you have an obligation to the Lord to know the truth and speak the truth and stand up for what's right for the sake of the young people in America who have never been educated to the truth about socialism, about communism. You know, I'm old enough that I watch this. I know about it. Another thing that I just want to share quickly, you know, if you know the truth, share it. You know what? Your kids, your grandkids can say you're crazy, but at least when they see it coming, they understand what's going on. And hopefully people will come to repent and seek the Lord as they see these things coming around them. That is why God allows these things, is to bring repentance. I believe that with all my heart. So here's the thing. There was a book. I did a study on it, and I put a picture of the cover. It's called To Harass Our People. I put that up there. This book was published in 1984. I was in college at the time that I read this book. It's one of the things that I really took to heart when I was doing my study on Bible prophecy and end times in America. I want people to know I didn't just pop up with that. I'd been studying about different things. This title is subtitled, The IRS and Government Abuse of Power. There's a special section on assault on religion. This was written by a congressman, George Hansen, published in 1984, about the abuses of the IRS and how they were targeting and using their power to harass people, citizens of the United States of America. Not rich people, average American citizens being arrested, having their bank accounts seized. This was all going on in the 1980s. I read this book. I did a report on it. I would urge anybody that can get a copy of this, it's an old book, to read it. Guess what happened to Congressman George Hansen after he published this book?
What?
He was arrested and charged with committing fraud on his income tax returns and spent 15 months in prison.
Hmm.
That is what they did to him for speaking the truth.
They know how to shut up anyone who speaks the truth.
Okay.
They're professional.
Yeah. Yes, and this was back in 1984. Now, what happened? He went to prison, but he was a hero in the state of Idaho, which is where he had been elected. He had always been standing up against government abuse. Now, here's the thing. Congress, in 1900s, after all this was exposed about the abuses, he stood up and spoke the truth. They changed the law and reined in the IRS. They reined it in. They stopped it from abusing people. Guess what happened in 2009 when the Tea Party was growing and the Tea Party was speaking out against Obama? The IRS started shutting them down.
The same thing. Yeah.
They didn't arrest people, but they wouldn't let them get a 501c3. They couldn't organize.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They stopped them. So now what is Joe Biden doing? He says, we got to hire more IRS agents. We have to have more IRS agents. You see, my friends, it never changes. But it did get yanked back because people were furious when they found out the truth. That's why we speak the truth. And now Joe Biden's popping up, we need more IRS agents because we have to go after the big guys. They don't go after the big guys. They go after the little guys. That's what that book proved. I hope people, if they can get a copy of it, will read it. I've actually found a copy, a used copy. It's not, Congressman Hansen died in 2014. But I just want people to know, there's a way to fight back, and you can yank some of this junk back. Last thing, Usama, the conference has been going on this weekend in Rome, the 5th International Vatican Conference. Reports that I've heard, it is nothing but you must get vaccinated. You must get vaccinated and climate control. That's all it is. It's just people touting the virtues of you must get a vaccine so the world can be free and we have to control the climate. All baloney.
Yeah.
All baloney. Anyway.
Yeah, I got one of the message I got yesterday, and it has a Pope, the stick the Pope holds in his hand. What do you call this? It has a round piece in the middle.
It's a scepter.
Okay, two snakes, one on the right hand, one on the left hand, and it's a very well designed. Well, guess what, Christy? Surprise, surprise! It is the same design they have for the demonic satanic worshippers. Same design.
Wow!
It's like one of a kind here and there. I could not believe it. I literally physically could not believe it. What does the Catholic say about that? The Pope is using the scepter in his hand, match that which is in a statue of Satan.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And a round piece in the middle. I don't know what you call it, Christy, but it is amazing. I was literally shocked when I saw it. I could not believe my eyes. But, hey, this is life.
And I will tell you that you can send me that picture and maybe we'll share it next time. But, you know, hey, why should you be surprised? We got statues honoring Satan, and the government won't do anything to stop their free speech. But the president of the United States is permanently banned from Facebook. One of the pathetic things that's going on is, and that's why I want people to get the news, is how much the communist Chinese have infiltrated everything, including Hollywood. And this is disturbing because all of your TV programming, like you were just mentioning about these cartoons, about the movies, a lot of people in Hollywood are rebelling against this. Disgusting filth that's coming out of Hollywood. And there's been several people on these channels who are in Hollywood. Kevin Sorba, a number of actors and actresses who are conservatives in Hollywood, they're banding together to fight against this corrupt, gross, violent filmmaking industry that is filled with propaganda against the American government, against our American values. And they want to produce films that are wholesome and emphasize the value of the family, the importance of patriotism. So I hope that when we see these things coming, people will support them. I've gone out to see several films that 2 years ago, because we couldn't see anything during COVID, but films that were produced, beautiful films that were produced, emphasizing the gospel, the value of the moral values that we hold dear in America. And so, yeah, support those things as you see them coming out. Hopefully we'll see more. Anyway, thanks to our chat room friends who are wishing me a happy Mother's Day. They didn't say
not happy first person day.
No, I don't want to hear that. That's so sickening. I mean, to me, it's stupid because I'm going to tell you, our birth rate is dropping off the planet. So there's plenty of females out there that are not having kids. They must be a third sex. There must be male and female and then another sex. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. There are like 18, 19, 20-some, 20-some whatever genders now. So sad.
I know. It is crazy.
But I am a mom, and to be honest, I want you to know one of the most important things in my life is the kids that I have. And I just got a beautiful card and a gift from one of my daughters that I don't see very much, but she dropped off a gift and a card. It was beautiful. But all my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, it's a beautiful thing to have family and to be a mom. And, you know, I'm a mom, adopted mom to another girl that she adopted me. She was grown. She already wished me happy Mother's Day too. So it's a blessing.
Well,
to have
happy Mother's Day. And I know not only you're a mama, but you're a grandma and a great grandma. What a blessing.
I got people all over the place. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing. But I'll tell you, it's also a headache because when anybody's got a problem and they give you a call, you know, sometimes they call grandma, sometimes they call mom, but ultimately I'm thankful for that because that's one of the most important things you do in your life is share faith with your kids and be there when they need something or just to let them know that you love them always. And then they marry people and you have extra. I mean, like you get extra people because your kids marry people. And it's awesome.
God is good. Happy Mother's Day for all the wonderful mothers out there, those who have given so much and sacrificed a lot and love and men. Without you, mothers, we could not be here. And it's a reality. I don't call you persons because that's dumb, because it is a mother and a father. It is a blue and pink. It is Adam and Eve, no other gender or no other middle person or third person. There's no one. But God made him at the beginning, male and female. And he, what Jesus said, a man leave his father and his mother and unite with his wife, and they both shall become one flesh. There is no one flesh between two guys or two girls or two something else. It does not work that way. Anyway, so happy Mother's Day for all of you. And, well, it's a crispy Mother's Day to me. It's May 8th, and it's cold. It is cold. I don't know what to tell you. God is good. Well, Christy, what else do you have in your calendar before we get to our study? Because I have so much to talk about here tonight.
I know, man. You do.
Oh, man. Yes.
You've got too much, my friends. I just want people, hopefully, that if you can't look at the slideshow while you're there, I put your books up there. I put some reminders of different stories and scripture.
Talk about books. Just this morning, believe it or not, I read my entire book. Of course, I finished it this morning. I've been reading for a whole week for the last time. So I am not. And I say it again, I am not going to read that new book of ours on the computer again. I hope and I pray sometime next few weeks it will be on paper. So my book is finished.
Whoa,
it's about to be sent.
Yay. I've been looking forward to this. And this is exposing the truth about jihad in the Quran. Is that right?
Volume two. Unholy War in the Quran. I can tell you in simple words here, the book is, I can tell you how many pages it is. Let me give you some information about this new book, which I'm so excited about, you know, sharing with you guys about it. So, the book is here we go. I'm over it again on my computer. It'll take you a second. The total of the pages of that book is 300. And come on, go down with me. 387 pages. So it's a nice size book. You know, Christy, I found out or realized that most books are in the market right now that are around 240 pages. My books are 370 plus. Literally, the Quran is over 420 some pages. So the new print of our Quran is finished. As a matter of fact, I received a shipment here 10 days ago. So we got a revised Quran. We did a few changes, not much, maybe a good 8 or 10 changes. So we got the new Quran, and this new book is going to be print, I hope, within the next 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks at most. But Monday, we will ship it to the print shop for producing the sample, and whenever I get it and I'll approve it, then we'll have the books ready. Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Volume 2, Unholy War in the Quran. You will love it, Christy. I promise you, you will love it. It's especially if you have read Volume 1. So, guys, if you have not read Volume 1, you need to read Volume 1, which is Holy War in the Bible. We're talking about all the bloody pages of the Bible in a very deep theological interpretation, why there is war in the Bible, why there was killing in the Bible. And then we ask the question, is the killing of the Bible is the same as the killing of the Quran? Is the killing of Judaism is the same as the killing of Islam? Because obviously we know in Christianity there is not but one great holy sacrifice. That is the sacrifice of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, which in him we end all the killing in on planet Earth until the savage Muhammad with the savage cult of Islam show up 640-some years later to kill the Christian and the Jews and everyone, anyone who will not submit to Islam. So you're going to love Volume 2, but if you have not got Volume 1, why not get Volume 1 first? Hopefully within next month or so we'll have Volume 2 ready, and we'll go from there. All right? This is my advertisement for tonight.
Yeah, I do want to tell you that if you have a pastor or anyone you know who wants to be equipped to respond, not only to Muslims who will say, well, there's all this killing in the Bible, it's no different in the Quran. If you have a pastor that wants to be able to respond to atheists who will say, well, if God's good, why did this happen? This book that Usama is talking about, Volume 1, is an excellent tool to equip people to respond to those challenges that come to many Christians. I really highly recommend it. It is really helpful.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Christy. Appreciate that. Anything else?
Nope. I think I got it covered. I just recommend start reading people, start informing yourself. If you see a television broadcast or something on there and you wonder, hey, are they really telling the truth about these elections? If you don't know, like if you know flat out they have told some whoppers in the past and they did not correct them, you need to quit watching. I mean, just quit watching. You can selectively watch the few people you can rely on, but find some news sources, and I hope I've helped people do that. That's it.
Amen. Well, I think we're going to have a great study, not just tonight, but the next few nights. What? Go ahead.
Finish. I forgot something, Usama. Man, I'm sorry. I want to play.
That's okay.
If you're going to find the truth, what are we hoping to do? If they turn out and find out this election was stolen, is there anything that can be done? This was an excellent report. It's an example of what I'm talking about, OAN. This is the reporter, Carl Pearson Sharp. He is sharp, and I really would love to play this. It'll give you some insight into what could actually happen if we have people that are out there proving there was fraud in the election. Can I play that, Usama?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Go for it. Absolutely.
All right. All right. Here we go.
A momentous challenge, one on a scale never before imagined. There's mounting evidence casting credible doubts about our election integrity, and that raises a very serious question. What happens if fraud is detected and it's proven that a sitting president didn't lawfully win the election? From a strictly legal standpoint, what would be the consequences if we discover that Joe Biden is occupying the White House due to fraud and President Trump is the actual winner of the 2020 election? First of all, this kind of situation has never happened with a presidential election before, and the Constitution isn't clear on what to do. That being said, there are still numerous examples of contested elections specifically involving fraud being overturned and even held again. In fact, many times, courts have actually just ordered a whole new election to be held after a case of fraud is proven to have affected the outcome. For example, in 2004, the Indiana Supreme Court ruled that a new election was required after widespread absentee ballot fraud substantially undermined the reliability of the election. And in an Alabama mayoral race in 1984, just one voting machine was found to be malfunctioning, and so the state Supreme Court ordered the entire election to be run again. Going back all the way to the 1950s, the Illinois Supreme Court actually voided a local election after concluding that ballot integrity was compromised and ended up ordering a new election altogether. According to Stephen Hefner, a professor of law at Ohio State University, widespread mail-in ballots actually may increase the frequency with which contested elections occur. He explained in a paper published in 2006 that greater use of absentee ballots will call a greater number of ballots into question. Well, that certainly seems to be the case today, as the 2020 election involves more mail-in ballots than any other election in U.S. history.
It shouldn't be mail-in voting. It should be you go to a booth and you proudly display yourself. You don't send it in the mail where people pick up all sorts of bad things can happen by the time they sign that, if they sign that, by the time it gets in and is tabulated. I'm not going to say which party does it, but thousands of votes are gathered and they come in and they're dumped in a location, and then all of a sudden you lose elections that you think you're going
to
win.
According to the professor, there are two options once election fraud is detected. The first is to simply identify how many fraudulent ballots were cast and then adjust the vote totals accordingly. The second is to void the election entirely, leaving the office vacant until a new election is held. In other cases, courts have entirely reversed the outcome of elections, and where fraud is found to have helped the winning candidate, in this case, Biden, the election is simply awarded to the second place finisher, in this case, President Trump. An example is a 1997 mayoral race in Miami where a significant number of fraudulent ballots were cast for the winner. So the court decided to send a strong message to discourage voting fraud and disqualify the ballot, making the runner-up the new winner. Occasionally, courts have also decided to flat-out reject all the votes cast from a particular precinct where voting irregularities occurred. If we apply that to the 2020 election, it would give the courts the ability to simply throw out all the votes from counties like Antrim in Michigan or even Maricopa County in Arizona where there are significant questions about voting integrity. In some cases, courts can even just declare a new winner instead of ordering a new election if they're satisfied that enough voters actually cast their ballots in favor of that candidate. However, to be fair, there are some legal scholars who argue that the language in Article 2 of the Constitution would prevent a presidential election from being held after it's already been decided by Congress. But, like I said, this kind of situation has never happened before, and the Constitution has never been put to the test on this point. I spoke with John Bantaff, a professor of public law at the George Washington University. He clarified that the Constitution does not contain any language clearly providing for the cancellation of a presidential election once the Congress has met and determined the outcome of the Electoral College. But, he added, although there aren't any laws in place specifically providing for holding a second presidential election, that doesn't mean it can't happen. He explained that new elections have been ordered in local and sometimes even state and congressional races when serious questions have been raised about the outcomes. That includes when there is strong evidence of clear and significant voting fraud or a major malfunction of one or more voting machines. Professor Bantaff gave the example of a recent election in Aberdeen, Mississippi, where a judge ordered a new election after a whopping 78% of mail-in ballots were found to be fraudulent. That seems very relevant when you consider what the recount in Arizona might discover. Furthermore, in 1976, a district court in New York stated, in no uncertain terms, that federal courts absolutely had a role to play in ensuring free and fair presidential elections. The court argued that role was most important of all when a president is elected whose margin of victory was provided by fraudulent registration or voting, ballot stuffing, or other illegal means. Exactly what we could be facing today. Although it's never been tested, that finding seems to provide a clear example of how to treat a presidential election if and when fraud is discovered. Even so, Professor Bantaff said he believed that redoing the entire election is very unlikely. University of California, Irvine School of Law Professor Rick Hassan agreed, saying it's rare for courts to declare a revote and they must have substantial evidence to do so. But the point is, clearly, it's not impossible, especially if ordered by state officials. And Professor Bantaff says the concept is actually well established at the state and local level. Most interesting to consider is that if the election is found to be fraudulent, then basically all of the laws, regulations, and executive orders passed by the sitting president during his entire term would be invalidated and repealed. In this situation, that means everything that Biden has done in the last few months would have to be rolled back. In the end, it all comes down to this. Even though there's some disagreement over how it could be done, the courts absolutely have the power to invalidate an election and order a new one. And as we can see, it's already been done many times in the past. This is not something to be taken lightly, especially for a presidential election. And courts are obviously very reluctant to get involved in political matters for good reason. But in a case like we're facing today, with so many serious questions about the integrity of the 2020 election, it could once again be time for the courts to step in if proven cases of election fraud are found. In fact, the courts may now be the last line of defense in safeguarding our democracy and the leadership of this country from anyone who would use election fraud to defy the will of the people. For One America News, I'm Pearson Sharp.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's amazing, Chris, as I listen to this gentleman and tell us about fraud in the past, and I know for sure without any doubt that this Biden is a commander and thief. He stole that White House and he lived in it illegally, and I could not find any Democrat will argue with me. I don't know where they are. I don't know where they are. But anyway, we'll wait to see what's going to happen in Arizona and where else they're going to be doing that recount. And you know what, Christy? Even if he will stay his 4 years, I don't think he's going to live to be intelligent for 4 years. I just want the American people to know that that man is a thief and he's a criminal. So is his son. So is his brother. So is his wife. So is every family member. So is every member of the Democrat Party. They're all garbage. They're thieves. They're criminals. They should be in prison, not running this country. Even if they will take their 4 years, let them finish it. But I want to see a proven evidence that there was deception, there was fraud, and let the whole world learn the real nature of this garbage Democrat Party, the swamp
of
America.
I don't believe if they're able to show that he stole the election, and that's why I want people to pay attention. You're not going to get that news of what's going on CNN and ABC and NBC and MSNBC
I understand that. But if we can prove it in one state like Arizona with huge victory for Trump, and we move to another state and we prove another victory, that will shut the Democrats. They're going to all hide under in some caves. That's what's going to happen.
Well, what I'm saying is, and the other factor here is, those states can turn their election around. Biden didn't win, but by 10,000 votes in Arizona. He lost, but that was the program. It'll show you absolute proof. Peter Navarro, and here's articles about election theft. You can see how they did it. We know how they did it. It has to be demonstrated now, and that's what they're doing in Arizona. They're doing it in Wisconsin. They're doing it probably in Ohio, in Georgia. All of these places are looking into voter fraud, and it's because of the work of people like Mike Lindell, Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon. They have been talking about this and bringing it to the public's attention, and now we know OAN has been reporting on this. So I hope people will stay on top of this. And the most important thing I heard him say is if they can show this election was fraud, was won by fraud, theft, all of these executive orders that Biden has put into place will be repealed. He doesn't have any right to be doing those things. Anyway, let's pray. You know, there's hope there.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Let's go. Usama, you have the floor.
Thank you so much. I think we have covered so much stuff happening since last week. And I hope and I pray that this week will be a better week than last week or the last 15 weeks, 16 weeks. I have no idea how many weeks we're a bit sick like that. Anyway, 3 months plus, almost four. So, we are still in our study, Christy, about the is the Quran revealed book? Is the Quran revealed book? Very, very important to know that if you have not studied the Quran, if you have not investigated the Quran, and you listen to the Muslim people talking about their holy Quran, and if you've seen how Muslim people react to the Quran, they will not even touch the book. No kidding. With their hand. unless they wash. And the book cannot be put on a lower shelf. It has to be on a higher shelf. And the book is highly respected by every Muslim since you were born until you die. If you literally think with me, if somebody cut a page out of the Quran or burn a page of the Quran, you're talking about death. You're talking about chaos because it's the word of Allah. It is the word of Allah. We've been talking lately about a bunch of different things. Today, I want to talk the incomplete word of Allah. The incomplete word of Allah as an evidence or as a proof. Of course, not going to be today. It's going to be today in the next few weeks to cover this subject. Yes, Muhammad Christie. Go ahead.
No, it's incomplete. I know that's what you meant. Incomplete.
What did I say?
Uncomplete. So.
Short book. Missing so much. Missing so much.
Yes.
Incomplete. All right. Well, we know Muslims will use some of the biblical names or some of the biblical stories to prove that the Quran is the perfect, complete word, Allah. And Allah is God. After all, the Bible and the Quran talk about Abraham, for example. And that is where we're going to catch our study. We'll see what the Lord is going to do. If we finish Abraham, we'll go to the rest of the family. But is it true? Because Allah talk about Abraham in the Quran, and the Bible talk about Abraham in the Bible. That means the God of the Bible talk about Abraham in the Bible. That means we're talking about the same Abraham. When we examine the story of Abraham in the Quran, and we compare it to the true account of Abraham in the Bible, will this make us believe that the Quran is a revelation from God, or and Allah is God, or does this make us believe that the Quran is a junk book, incomplete book, corrupted book, and Allah cannot be God? Very, very important question. So, and I believe when you compare apple to apple, not apples to oranges, no, apple to apple, then you found out for sure if you are on the right track or there's something wrong in what you believe in. So, when we talk about Abraham in the Bible, Christy, we're talking about the Bible mentioned Abraham 229 verses. That's Old Testament and New Testament. 229 verses. Some of these verses, actually, the name Abraham or the word Abraham is mentioned twice, more than once. So the total of number, how many times the Bible talk about Abraham, is around 240 times, okay? Now, I want to compare this to the Quran so we have an idea. In the Quran, the word Abraham is mentioned 63 times. 63 times. And it is all over the Quran. We start from Quran chapter 2, which is the book of the cow. We talk about Abraham all the way until Quran chapter 19 and verse 46. I'm sorry, let me give you a little bit more. I apologize. Let's move a little bit more. Al-Mazid, it's going all the way until Quran chapter 87 verse 19. Quran chapter 87 verse 19. Now, to be fair, sometimes the Quran mentions nothing about Abraham, just the name Abraham. So when I say Abraham is mentioned in the Quran 63 times, let me say that. Three quarters of it is nothing. There's nothing you can learn about Abraham. Now, the story of Abraham in the Quran is missing so much to the point you can't help but to scratch your head when you're trying to understand what Allah is talking about concerning Abraham. Not only the story in the Quran contradicts what's written in the Bible, but the story in the Quran does not have a full understanding. Like, let me ask you a question, Christy. Who is Abraham's wife? What is Abraham's wife's name?
Well, Sarah in the Bible.
Sarah in the Bible. We know also he was involved with another lady, one by the name Hagar, and she's
yes.
Egyptian slave. And we also know that he was involved with Keturah, the
right.
mother of all Arabs. And so he, see, he's a man have multiple concubines, obviously, after the death of Sarah. Now, in the Quran, who is Abraham's wife?
I don't know. Should we check?
trust me, Sarah was never mentioned once.
Now, if I tell you Sarah is the mother of Ishmael and Isaac, will you believe that?
No.
Well, how do you know? Because the Quran never told us who is the mother of Ishmael and who is the mother of Isaac. I mean, who is Hagar? I mean, Muslims brag about Ishmael and Hagar, Ishmael and Hagar, and Hagar was not even mentioned in the Quran. Can you imagine that with me if I tell you Eve is not mentioned in the Quran, and Sarah is not mentioned in the Quran, and Hagar is not mentioned in the Quran? How in the world did we came to this world?
That's very interesting. I guess they didn't have birthing people in the Quran.
Okay. If I open the Bible, can I tie Abraham to Jesus?
Yes.
Can I tie Abraham to Adam?
Yes.
Why can't we have some clue of who is that Abraham in the Quran? When we don't know who is his father, gave us the wrong name, by the way, Muhammad the Quran, and you have no clue who are the descendants of Abraham. And as a matter of fact, there's some problem in the Quran that you can't help it. You can't help it because you think that Ishmael is the father of Isaac. Can you imagine that? Ishmael is the father of Isaac. That is a chaos.
Oh my gosh.
Muhammad does not know who is who. Who came before who? No. So I'm talking about generally, when you talk about Abraham in the Quran, good luck to figure out who is Abraham. As a matter of fact, Jacob is a very important character in the Bible. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in our study. But when you think about Jacob in the Bible, who is Jacob? We know nothing about Jacob. Do you know that the greatest Muslim scholar, Ibn Kathir, and I talked about that in my book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, the Revelation of Abraham, when I talked about the story of Joseph. When he studies the story of Jacob, you know nothing about Jacob, but you can know Jacob through his son, Joseph. Can you imagine that with me? In the Bible, we have so much about Jacob that you literally can make a movie. You can write a book about Jacob. As a matter of fact, there are many books written about Jacob from the teachings of the Bible. But in the Quran, you know nothing about Jacob. And when the Muslim scholars like Ibn Kathir and Al-Tabari and others told us about Jacob, all what they did is they told us the story of Joseph as if through Joseph we can know Jacob. Can you imagine that? How in the world you can know a father through his son when you know nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, about that father? So when I say the Quran is incomplete book or incomplete book, what's the right word, Chris? In or on?
Incomplete.
Okay. Keep correct me when I say it wrong, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry.
Incomplete book.
No.
I'm asking you to correct me for those who listen to us, make sure that they get it right. When I say the Quran is incomplete book, I'm talking about an empty box. And inside the box, there's some names. One of them is Abraham. Now, let me ask you a question. What is Abraham's real name? The name which he had for 75, 80 years. What is his real name?
Abraham.
Where is Abraham? Where can we find Abraham in the Quran?
Yeah, I don't think it's there. I didn't check, but I don't think it's there.
I'm telling you, it is not there, okay? So Abraham, the real name, there is a second name for Abraham, the father of many nations, is his name in the Quran. We know nothing about Abraham. Abraham does not exist, but Abraham exists. And so it's amazingly, if you go to Jacob, for example, you find that Jacob has two names in the Quran, Jacob and Israel. And if you ask the Muslim people, who is Israel? Oh, that's Jacob. Oh, okay. And who is Jacob? That's Israel. Okay. So Jacob has two names, Jacob and Israel. I said, yeah, okay. How did he got these two names? We don't know. Which names he got first? Was it Jacob or Israel? We don't know. Who changed his name? We don't know. They know nothing.
Yeah.
When I say the Quran is incomplete book, I mean, there are some information there. We don't know where it come from, and we don't know why these changes ever happen or take place. And more important than that, you cannot understand any of the stories of the Quran because the information is not there. Now, I love Muslim scholars. Don't take me wrong. They're really so sharp. They're so smart. They prove to me
that without them, the Muslim world will be lost. Why? Because, as Muslims always say, you cannot understand the Quran by just reading it. I said, wait a minute, why not? Why can't I understand the Quran by reading it? Didn't Allah say in the Quran, it is clear book, easy to understand, a revelation of Allah in the pure Arabic language? And I can read Arabic, Christian. I should be able to open the Quran and read it and understand every passage in it. I don't even need to read an interpretation by any Muslim scholar. No, you can't. You know why you cannot understand the Quran by reading the Quran? Because it is incomplete book. But Muslim will tell you, the only way you can understand the Quran is by reading Muslim scholars' interpretation. Interpretation of what? Of the verses which does not exist in the Quran. Wait a minute. How can Ibn Kathir be smarter than me, and I have a master's degree? Ibn Kathir does not have a master's degree, and I can read Arabic and English, and he can only read Arabic and not read English, and I have more access to material today, technology of computer. How can he have more knowledge about the revelation of Allah in the Quran than me? You know how? Actually, no, he is not. He have more information about the names of the Quran than most Muslims, but not more than me. That's why I call Ibn Kathir a dummer, not a scholar. At least when you read the interpretation of Ibn Kathir to any of the verses of the Quran, he will always start by telling you scholars disagree. Well, I thought you are the scholar. No, Ibn Kathir is not actually a scholar. He's quoting for you the scholars' writings. And he always starts by saying they disagree. And he always, after he gives you different opinion or different information, contradictory many times, he will end his interpretation by saying, Wallahu A'lam, which means, and Allah knows best. That's why I say again that the Quran is incomplete book. Why? Because the information is not there, and Muslim scholars disagree, and only Allah knows. But where did Ibn Kathir came up with the interpretation of verses does not exist in the Quran? That is a question which we can find it easily tonight and the next few shows. It is in the Bible. So Muhammad heard the story of the Bible, and he started copying so many of it, and he put it in the Quran, and Muhammad died. But he never gave us a full story. He never gave us a full information. He actually confused the daylight out of his own people. But behold, 700-800 years later, now we got Ibn Kathir, and now we got this and that. And those people opened the Bible, which is the original source of the information of the Quran, and they started adding in what it fit with the story of the Quran. And that is exactly what Ibn Kathir said in his intro for his book, The Beginning and the End, The Story of the Prophet. He said, and I quote, I do not need the Bible to understand the Quran. I only use it as a dessert. You know, after you eat dinner, you eat a dessert, Christy.
A dessert. So it is not that. Oh, wow.
Exactly. That's what he said. So he's not using the Bible as a meal, but he uses it as a dessert. And he said he will quote from it what agrees with the Quran, and he will reject any of these writings of the Bible which disagree with the Quran. Allahu Akbar.
I have a question. How can things disagree with the Quran? The Quran disagrees with itself. You don't know what it's saying.
Well, that's another problem, Chris. That's another problem. But we're talking about Ibn Kathir, for example, use the Bible to help the Muslim people to understand the Quran. But he does not. But he does not use the entire Bible. He only used from the Bible the things which he does not disagree with the Quran. Because if he used other verses, Christy, from the Bible, which goes against the teaching of the Quran, he would destroy the Quran.
Yes, he would
destroy the Quran. So,
like Jesus said.
Okay. All right. So I hope you got your Quran open, Christy, because we're going to dig in to Abraham in the Quran to see, can these verses we read in the Quran give us the evidence that Abraham's story in the Quran is accurate and it is complete, and we can really come out of studying about Abraham with the conclusion that the Quran is a revelation of God? Because how did Muhammad know about Abraham and wrote all these truths and facts about Abraham, unless his Quran is a true, full, complete revelation from God, as Muslims claim. Now, let's go to Quran chapter 2, if you don't mind, Christy. Quran chapter 2, begin from verse 1. Let me give you the verse here, Quran chapter 2. How about 124? Quran 2, 124.
Okay, let's go to 124, and we have 24. Okay, here we go. And when Ibrahim was tested by his Lord with words, so he fulfilled them. He said, I am making you an imam to the people. He said, and who is my offspring? He said, my covenant will not be received by the unjust.
Now, did you understand anything, Christy? I know you're an intelligent woman. You have some degrees. You're an author. You are a big talker. You have a radio in your mouth. And you're a smart woman. You're not a, you're not a, how do you call this? Behind the camel lady, young lady, you know, uneducated. You're a very educated. When you read that verse, let's read again. Abraham was tested by his Lord. By how Abraham was tested? How did Allah test Abraham? By what?
With words.
What is the words?
It doesn't tell you.
I mean, are you trying to tell me that Allah gave Abraham a quiz? Okay, Abraham, true or false? Blah, blah, blah. True or false? I'm testing you by words. Or Allah will ask Abraham, what is the name of the capital of Egypt? And Abraham said, the capital of Egypt, Cairo. And Allah said, good, Abraham. Exactly. Now, how many people live in the state of whatever? I mean, what kind of words? What kind of this is that? Was it true and false? Was fill in the blank? Was it match?
Multiple choice.
That's the thing. Multiple choice. What kind of test did Abraham got from Allah? We know about a test in the Bible. But what is the test of Abraham? Here is the first question. I'm trying to talk to you reasonably because I'm trying to cast the teaching on the subject in depth here, that the Quran is incomplete book. You have no clue, you idiot Muslims, to follow that guy, his name is Muhammad, or even his scholars to tell us what is the test. Okay, Christy. You know what? Here we go. I'm going to read you. Choose, Christy. What scholar do you want to use his interpretation to understand that test here? Who? Give me a name. Do you like Al-Jalalayn, for example? Let's see Al-Jalalayn. Here we go.
Sure.
Al-Jalalayn is always Al-Jalalayn, short and sweet. Was qala Ibrahim Rabbi ihjal. Okay. I'm sorry. Where is it? I went the wrong verse. I went the second verse. I need to go to the first verse. How Allah tests Abraham?
I don't know. What does Al-Jalalayn say?
I'm gonna read you. Okay.
With words.
With
yes.
Words. Bikalimatin. Wazukuru. Is ibtala ikhtabara mean test. Allah, remember when Allah tested Abraham with words. بأوامره ونواهيه كلفه بها قيل هي مناسك الحج. It says, listen to this. The test here is how Allah ordered Abraham to do the pilgrimage steps of the Hajj of Mecca. Like Allah said, okay, Abraham, here is what you're going to do. First, you're going to circle the Kaaba 7 times. Then you're going to run to Zamzam, the water of Zamzam, and you drink from it. And then you throw 4 rocks or 8 rocks. So that is a test.
Wow.
Let's continue. وَقِيلَ الْمَضْمَضَ وَالْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ وَالْصَوَاقِ وَقَصِ الشَّارِبِ وَفَرْقِ الشَّعْرِ وَقَلْمِ الْأَظَفِ. Let me explain to you a sentence. Madmada is when you put water in your mouth and you go, and you spit. What do you call that?
Gargling.
Okay. Number one, it's a shock. That is when you put the water in through your nose and you breathe to clean your nose. Okay?
What's the whack? That is when you bring a piece of pork and clean between your teeth. Cuss the sharp. It says he also, when he literally used a scissor to take his mustache off, he don't use a blade. Because the Sunnah of Muhammad, Muslim Sunni, grows a beard naturally. They don't trim the beard. And they cut the mustache one hair at a time with the scissors. You don't use a sharpened blade to shave your mustache. No shaving, but cut with scissors, okay? Farq al-sha'r, that is when you make a, you know how Sean Hannity, he have his hair split in the middle of his head? You know how I'm talking about?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. Part.
Okay. Well, Chrissy, when you part your hair in your head, okay? Half on the right, half on the left. And, وَقَلْمَ الْأَظَافِرِ when you cut your fingernails. Well, نَطْقَ الْأَظَافِرِ when you move the hair from below your arm. From the pits of your arm. And stop like that. Here is the test, Christy. And Abraham passed the test. He did them.
Oh, my gosh.
كان من أول وأن يتوقف الحديث عن ابتلاء بالكلمات عن أوامر الدين. This is only, not only talking about words, but the orders of the religion. What Allah forbid, what Allah allow him to do. لأن القرآن الكريم لم يعين الكلمات التي ابتلاء. He said this recently because the generous Quran did not tell us exactly what are the words which Allah used to test Abraham with.
Goodness.
واختلف العلماء and Muslim or the scholars disagree to tell exactly what these are words, but somehow Abraham fulfilled it. That's why Allah said He will make him imam, He will make him a leader to the people.
This is like
somebody is drunk, is trying to make sense out of something that does not make any sense. Now, I can go on that Al-Jalayn. That's the smallest one. Literally, we're talking about one program. If I go to Ibn Kathir, it's a little bigger. You're talking about literally 10 times more than what I read you, Chris. 15 times more than what I read you.
Oh my gosh!
And if I go to Al-Tabri and Al-Qurtubi, even more interpretation.
Oh my gosh! So, you know, Yusama, this really demonstrates that without these scholars, like you said, it makes no sense. So these scholars know more than Muhammad?
The scholar, exactly. And the amazing thing, these scholars like Jalayn or Ibn Kathir, these came hundreds of years later. So literally after 600-700 years, Muslims believe in the Quran to be the perfect word of Allah. Now a guy by Ibn Kathir's talk tells them what is the test. And since Allah does not tell us, did not tell us the Quran what is the test, scholars disagree. We don't know. I can literally waste our hour, we're left over hour on that verse, Christy. And you come to the end laughing and shaking your head, mocking Allah and Muhammad and Muslim scholars. But we're not going to do that. This will take a good 50 years. I'll be old. I'll die of old age before we finish the story of Abraham. Especially, we're only going to be talking 2 hours every week. Maybe if we talk all day, all night, we'll have time to finish it before I die of old age. But let's go to the next verse, Chris. Let's go to the next verse. 125, okay?
Okay. And when we made the house as a resort for people and a haven, and take from the place of Abraham a place of prayer, and we made a covenant with Abraham and Ishmael, that purify my house for those who march around it and the dwellers and the kneelers, the worshipers.
Did Abraham and Ishmael build the Kaaba? Did Abraham and Ishmael went to Mecca, Saudi Arabia? Did Abraham even walk near within 400-500 miles? Was Abraham any close to Mecca?
Not to my knowledge.
See, Muslims do not
believe.
Muslims believe that Abraham and Ishmael built the Kaaba, and that's a place of worship.
as they purify the house for those who circle in the Kaaba, those who worship, those who bow down, blah, blah, blah. It's a lie. Why Muslims believe in that? Because the verse 125 said so. Any other evidence? Nothing. Does he have any proof? No. Let me ask you a question again. Where did Abraham come from?
Well, he surely didn't come from that guy.
From the Quran. We know nothing.
I know.
I mean, clearly, you don't know. You do not know his real father. You do not know his grandfather. You do not know his great-grandfather. You do not know where he come from. You do not know. How old was when Abraham talked to Allah here? When Allah tested Abraham with these words, how old was Abraham? Where he was living? Who is his family?
It's crazy.
We know nothing. We know nothing, Christy. The end of the story is we know nothing about Abraham, but somehow Muslims believe that it was him and Ishmael built the Kaaba, and Ishmael is the father of Muhammad. And we're going to prove this to be wrong in our study. Ishmael have nothing to do with Arabs. Abraham and Ishmael never built the Kaaba, and neither Abraham and Ishmael ever went to Saudi Arabia. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Abraham went to Egypt in the Quran? It's not there. It's not there. How in the world did Abraham ended with Hagar, Ishmael's mama?
Interesting.
From the Quran. In the Quran, nothing. She does not even exist. I can give a quiz. Is Sarah the mother of Ishmael and Isaac? If you say yes, you're wrong. If you say no, you're wrong because you don't know. How do you know? It could be true, according to the Quran, because you don't know. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that Ishmael and Isaac were born from Keturah. How do you know? The Quran never mentioned it, never said it. I can make up any name for a mama for all the children of Abraham. But let's continue. Next verse, 126.
And when Abraham said, "My Lord, make this valid, secure, and provide its people from the fruit to those who believe among them in Allah and in the last day," he said, "And whoever becomes an infidel, so I will give him a little enjoyment. Then I will force him into the fire of torment, and evil is the final place."
Can you imagine here the conversation between Allah and Abraham? Abraham said, "Allah, make this city here safe place and give its people fruits." Do you know how much food you can have in Saudi Arabia, Christy?
I don't know, but I don't think there's a lot.
Notice here, the word fruit here is plural, samarat. The only thing grow up in the Saudi Arabia desert is the date. The date tree and the fruit is called date. Now, do they have any other fruit in Saudi Arabia? No. How in the world Allah did not answer the request of Abraham? I mean, Allah said, you know, Abraham is his friend. Abraham is begging for fruit. You should have all kind of fruit there. You should have strawberry and mango and apple and banana and a pear and all kind of fruits. Why can't Allah give Abraham the fruit which he requests from Allah? You know what is in Saudi Arabia? Desert, sand and camels. And Abraham is telling Allah, make this city safe, give its people fruit for those who believe among them in Allah. What about the one who does not believe in Allah? No fruit?
Well, he's going to get
Allah is carrying the conversation. Yes, Abraham, we'll do that. And for those who become infidel, we'll give them a little bit of enjoyment. And in the end, we're going to force them in hell. Wow. What a good team talk. Allah and Abraham having a good coffee here, sitting and talking with each other. Let me ask a question, Chris. How did Abraham talk to Allah? How Allah talked to Abraham? I mean, were they standing next to each other, talking to each other?
Did Allah came to earth and talk to Abraham? Or Allah was talking to Abraham from behind the cloud?
I don't know.
Now, whenever I ask a question, Christy, and you say, I do not know, or you have no answer, that will be a great evidence that the Quran, the revelation of the Quran, is incomplete book. It's not a complete book. You don't know, because the information is not there. I mean, Al-Jalalain told us a minute ago, we do not know what is the test, what is the words, because Allah does not mention it. That means it's not complete. How can Allah say the Quran is a complete, perfect word of Allah when we know nothing about almost every story and every verse we read in the Quran about every character Muhammad mentioned? Every character, Christy. I can change the subject from Abraham to Moses, from Moses to Noah, from Noah to Adam, from Adam to, I mean, no name is mentioned in the Quran where I can ask you 10, 20, 50, 100 questions and you have an answer. The answer is, I do not know. Why? Because Allah does not tell us. But at the same time, Muslims believe that the Bible is a corrupted book and the Quran is complete. How? I don't know. Take my word for it. It's a revelation of Allah, and Allah will never give a short book. His complete book is given to Muhammad about everybody. Okay. Let's move on to verse 127. It's going to get sweeter. Go ahead.
And when Abraham was raising the foundations of the house and Ishmael, our Lord, accept from us, surely you are hearing the knowing.
Don't you see that there's something missing between the word Ishmael and then our Lord? Is this how people talk? Are we missing a verse or we're missing a couple chapters in the middle there? How do we know?
I don't know.
And
it is odd.
Abraham and Ishmael were building the house. They were lifting the foundation. Abraham is a builder now. Abraham and Ishmael. Come on, Ishmael. Yeah, Dad, grab some cement, man, here. Where's the piece of wood I told you? It's a 2x6 and 2x4. Oh, Dad, I forgot to go by Home Depot to get this. Well, okay, go to Lowe's. Lowe's is closer. Go buy some wood from Lowe's. Or you know what? Menards have 11% discount. Let's go to Menards and get the nails and the screws from Menards. I mean, how did Abraham build the Kaaba? How did Abraham and his son Ishmael build the Kaaba? How old was Ishmael? Where did he buy the material from?
I don't have any idea.
I'm trying to be silly, Christy. And while they're building somehow, in the same verse, they start praying to Allah. It did not say, and then Abraham and Ishmael stood together facing the Kaaba, raising their hand towards heaven, and they said, oh, our Lord, accept from us. Surely you are the hearing, the knowing. No! Somehow, while they're building, they're praying. In the same, read it again, Chris, read it again. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I mishear you. Go ahead, read it again.
And when Abraham was raising the foundation of the house and Ishmael, our Lord, accept from us, surely you are the hearing, the knowing.
Why Muhammad put an Ishmael in the middle there? He did not say, listen. You can say, while Abraham and Ishmael building the foundation, raising the foundation. No. Talk about Abraham was building the foundation, and then he had an Ishmael. And Ishmael what? And Ishmael was watching his daddy, and Ishmael was clapping hands for his daddy. And Ishmael was making hot tea for his daddy. What is an Ishmael?
It doesn't make sense.
That's a bad grammar in the Arabic language, and I bet you it's bad grammar in English.
Yeah, it is.
And then he stopped, and Ishmael, and nothing happened, and then they start praying. Plural. Our Lord. Okay. Let's move. Next verse. Maybe it's going to get better. Verse 120. Go ahead.
Our Lord, and make us Muslims to you, and among our offspring a Muslim ummah to you. And show us our ritual and relent on us. Surely you are the relenting, the merciful.
They're still praying. Abraham and Ishmael are still praying. And they want to be Muslims. Was Abraham a Muslim? I love it how the Quran, as we're going to maybe read later, Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian. I love it. He was not a Jewish man. He was not a Christian man, but he was a
Hanifan.
God bless you. A word does not have any meaning. But now we know that he want to be a Muslim, and he want him and his son, Ishmael, to be Muslims, and he want his descendants to be Muslims. I wonder, how many of the Ishmaelites are Muslims? The real sons of Ishmael. How many of them are real Muslims? Not one. They're Ishmaelites. They live in Saudi Arabia. They have nothing to do with the Arab nation. But somehow here from that verse, we know that Abraham and Ishmael was standing there doing something. I don't know what he's doing. Because, see the problem is this, Christy. When you go to verse 127, it was Abraham alone lifting the foundation. Whereas Yarfa'u Ibrahim. Yarfa is singular. Not Yarfa'u. So Ishmael did not help his daddy. He was rude. He was cold. He was impolite. See his daddy, old man, working hard and building, and he was standing there. And Ishmael, he's just praying with his father. That's number one. Maybe we say, well, Ishmael was a little boy. He was literally a little boy. He cannot help his daddy. He cannot carry rocks or cement or 2x4 or anything. So he could not help. But he's grown up to pray with his father. Keep going. So he wants Allah to relent on them. And because
right.
Allah is merciful and he is forgiving. Go ahead. Verse 129.
Our Lord, and raise to them a messenger from among them who recites your verses to them.
Wait a minute. You mean Abraham here is asking Allah to send Muhammad to the Arab? To those who live around the Kaaba? Well, how can Abraham be a Muslim and his descendants are Muslims, and now we got a Muslim nation already. All this happening, and Muhammad is going to come later? See, you cannot have Islam before Muhammad. That's where you see some fabricated Muslims who will tell you, the word Muslims here means submitted to Allah, not Muslim like believe in Muhammad, because Muhammad was not there. No, Abraham was a Muslim. Adam was a Muslim. Jesus was a Muslim. The disciples of Jesus, all of them were Muslims. They believed in Muhammad. As a matter of fact, when Muhammad came to this world, 18 plus 6, 2,400 years later, he prayed in Jerusalem, and all the prophets, including Abraham and Isa and everybody, prayed a Muslim prayer with him. They all believed in him. They all believed in Muhammad because they know about Muhammad. Abraham was a Muslim. He believed in Muhammad and he believed in Allah. Not submitter, no. Adam saw and believed in Muhammad in the sky. It was written in the sky. Remember, Christy? The word
yeah.
was written of light. And it was
yes.
said, there is no God except Allah. And Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So Adam asked Allah, who is that Muhammad? So Allah did tell Muhammad what? Because of Muhammad, I created you. Muhammad is the reason for the creation.
Oh my gosh,
and Adam believed
right.
in Muhammad, and Adam believed in Muhammad, and Adam was a good Muslim. And since Adam is a Muslim, all the descendants of Adam are Muslims. That's why when somebody converts Islam today from any other cult, from Islam belief, they say he or she reverts. You know what revert mean, Christy? Revert to Islam. Revert to
go
what?
Back. Go back.
Go back. Thank you. So all the people of the world, if you leave them alone, you don't influence them by any religion or any belief, they are automatically Muslims. They all believe in Muhammad. Okay.
So that's
keep going.
Why infidels corrupted them, the infidels.
Exactly. Exactly.
I got you.
Next verse, Christy.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And raise to them a messenger from among them who recites your verses to them and teaches them the book and the hikmah and purify them. Surely you are the dear, the wise.
Now we're talking
hikmah?
About Muhammad who's going to come. Muhammad who's going to come. He's going to recite on them the verses of the Quran, which we're reading right now, Christy. You know that? were reading the verses of the Quran, which Muhammad is going to come later to teach his people. Wow. That's a miracle. That should make your head swing, go in circles, okay? And he will teach them the book and the wisdom. And he will purify them. Can you imagine Muslim will tell you Muhammad cannot read and write? But at the same time, he's going to teach them the book. Muhammad was a very wise man, and Muhammad will purify them even himself. He's a sinful man. How can a sinful man make me pure? Can you help me with that, Christy? If you are a sinful person, how can he make, Christ can make us, Christ can purify us. Why? Because he's perfect, and by his blood, we can be pure. But how in the world, Muhammad, the child molester, the sex offender, the prophet pretender, the womanizer, the adulterer, the seed, the thugs, the terrorist, the very evil, wicked man, how can that man purify me?
Not possible. Sorry.
It's not impossible. It's not impossible. It's not possible. All right. Well, let's move on. Next verse, Christy. Next verse.
And who forsakes the religion of Abraham except him who fools himself? And we indeed choose him in this world, and surely in the hereafter he is among the good.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Well, what is the religion of Abraham now? It's Muslim. How can you forsake Islam, the religion of Abraham? Allah has chosen him. Unless if you are crazy, if you're not, then you can leave Islam. No. Did really Allah said the next verse? Verse 131? Read for me, 131, Christian.
When his Lord said to him, "Be Muslim," he said, "I became a Muslim to the Lord of the worlds."
Did really Allah wanted Abraham to be a Muslim? Where can we find that in Genesis account? Anywhere?
Sure didn't come out of Genesis.
Everything we have read so far in this nonsensical or the foolish words of Allah in the Quran, none of this exists in the Bible. So when a Muslim man or a Muslim woman come to you and say, "We believe in Abraham," say, "What Abraham? Which Abraham are you talking about? Abraham of the Bible or is Abraham of the Quran?" And ask him a serious question. Trust me, they have no answer. So let me teach you about the true Abraham of the Bible. Because Abraham of the Quran is a joke. What did happen after that? Verse 132.
And Abraham advised by it his sons and Jacob, "O my sons, surely Allah has chosen the religion for you, so do not die except you are Muslims."
Who are the names of the sons of Abraham? Abraham advised his sons.
Yeah, Lord. Who are they?
Who are they?
Doesn't
he
say.
Advised them to be Muslim. Okay. He wants them to be Muslims. But when he advised his son, he also advised Jacob in the same time. How old was his sons and how old was Jacob when this took place? Oh, what happened to Ishmael?
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Ishmael disappeared in verse 132. Where is Ishmael? I like when Mr. Trump would say, "Where is Hunter?" Yeah, what is Hunter? What is Ishmael? His sons, who are the sons of Abraham, whom he wants to be Muslims and die as good Muslims. Don't die except when you are Muslims. Now, let's go to Jacob. Forget about Ishmael. Forget about... Trust me. I do not know where can we find a true account of Ishmael or Isaac in the Quran. Good luck. Good luck. We're going to talk about both of them and show you how much Muslims know about Ishmael and how much Muslims know about Isaac and how much Muslims know about Abraham. They know nothing. They know nothing. Verse 133.
Or were you witnesses when death came to Jacob when he said to his sons, "What will you serve after me?" They said, "We will serve your God and the God of your fathers, Abraham, and Ishmael and Isaac, one God, and to him we are Muslims.
I love it. Who are the sons of Jacob? We do not know how many, we do not know, but here we go. Abraham is Jacob is talking to them. Oh, he's about to die now. Don't serve anybody. Who are you going to serve after me? Who are you going to worship after me? We will serve your God and the God of your fathers. And who is the fathers of Jacob? Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac. How in the world can you tell me Ishmael is the father of Jacob? One of the fathers of Jacob. Well, I understand that Jacob is the son of Isaac. But was Isaac the son of Ishmael? And Ishmael the son of Abraham?
That doesn't make any sense. No.
Does not make sense. You know why? Because Allah and Jibreel and Muhammad did not have a clue that Ishmael and Isaac are brothers, not father, son. If you read it right now, Christy, look at it.
Yeah,
he said your fathers, Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac, which means Jacob. What's your name, Jacob? He said, my name is Jacob. Jacob who? Jacob, son of Isaac. Son of Isaac, Isaac who? Isaac, the son of Ishmael. Ishmael who? Ishmael, the son of Abraham. So literally, he mentioned here four generations. Jacob, Isaac, Ishmael, and Abraham. But in reality, Ishmael is an uncle.
It's as if by sticking the names in here in whatever fashion, it's trying to show that this is the same God as the Bible. That's the whole deception. And there's Christians that are deceived by this.
Exactly. Okay. I'm just trying to give you a taste of how the Quran is written, and it is incomplete book, and it's full of mistakes. I mean, one mistake after another. It is unending project. This will go forever and ever. But next verse, Christy, next verse.
Okay. This nation indeed passed away. To them what they earned, and to you what you earned, and do not ask what they were doing.
I love it.
Kind of jumping around in time here.
So this nation is past, so there's no more Jewish people, huh? Abraham and his descendants are gone. And I love it. Don't ask. Don't ask. You know what? Don't ask me, Christy.
So yep.
When I ask you tonight 50 questions, and you answer, I don't know. That's why Allah in the Quran do not want Muslims to ask.
Don't ask.
Don't tell me who is this and who is that, what he did, what he didn't do. None of your business. I wanna skip from where we're at here because I'm getting a little bit tired of it. So let's move to a different verse.
Okay. Where are we going?
Okay. Let's move to 140. Let's go to 140. What do we have in 140?
Or do you say, surely, Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes were Jews or Christians? Say, do you know better or Allah? And who is more unjust than he who hides the witness which he has from Allah? And Allah is not unaware of what you do.
Do you know, Christy, any person in history of mankind? Whoever believed that Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons of Jacob were Christians?
Of course not.
Are you sure that they did not believe in the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ?
You know how stupid Allah is to ask to put that question in the Quran? You know how stupid that is? Nobody ever said that Abraham was a Christian. Nobody ever said Ishmael was a Christian. Nobody ever said that Isaac was a Christian or Jacob was a Christian. Nobody believed it. They were not Christians. Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. This took place literally 1,800 years before Christ came in the flesh. So how in the world do you expect them to believe that Ishmael and Isaac and the 12 sons of Jacob were all Christian? How can they were Christian? So what was Muhammad drinking at that night when he wrote these verses? Was he drinking something really that heavy? Strong, I mean?
It's very weird. But it just seems like propaganda.
Okay. What the next verse says, 141?
This is a nation indeed passed away. To her what she earned, and to you what you earned, and do not ask about what they were doing.
Why Muhammad repeat verse 134 in verse in verse 141? Why he repeat the same verse? Word for word. We're talking about the same people. We're talking about Abraham and Ishmael and Jacob and Isaac and the 12 sons. Are you following me, Christy? Why we repeat verse 134 and verse 141? Can you give me one reason? Give me something to literally help me out here.
I don't know. I have no idea. Except to say Israel and all of the tribes are gone.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's move to verse 258, Christy. 258 in the word of Allah in the Quran. Let's learn more about Abraham.
Okay.
By the time we finish that chapter, we're going to be so smart, we can actually be like intelligent.
Okay. Have you not seen him who disputed with Abraham about his Lord, that Allah had given him the kingdom? When Abraham said, "My Lord is he who gives life and causes death," he said, "I give life and cause death." Abraham said, "So surely Allah brings the sun from the east, so bring it from the west." So the infidel was confounded. And Allah will not guide the unjust people.
Wow. You know who is this person who is debating or arguing with Abraham?
No.
That's okay. That's why we need Ibn Kathir. Ibn Kathir is going to help us. Ibn Kathir said, here Abraham was arguing or debating the king of Babel, Namrud, son of Canaan, son of Canaan, son of Cush, son of Sam, son of Noah. Can you imagine that? I mean, how in the world did he come up?
How did
Ibn Kathir come up with these names? He said, هَذَا الَّذِي حَاجَ إِبْرَهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ مَلِكَ بَابِلَ. He's the king of Babel. The king of Babel. Babel is the capital of Iraq. I did not know that during Abraham's life, there was a king in Babel, okay? And the name of the king is Namrud. He's the son of Canaan, son of Cush, son of Shem, son of Noah. Wait a minute. Canaan is the son of Ham, not son of Cush. And Ham is not the son of Shem because that's his brother. Ham and Japheth are the three sons of Noah. Hello, Ibn Kathir. What are you drinking? Or what are you smoking? You see the problem?
It's crazy.
He picked up some names and he made the names in wrong order. Okay. And let me give you another opinion. It was said he is Namrud, son of Phalach, son of Aber, son of Shelah, son of Arphaxad, son of Shem, son of Noah. This is different names, different people.
Totally different. So.
I'm amazed. I'm amazed. No. Your voice is cutting, Christy. For some reason, your voice is cutting. But if you can fix it,
it'll
be good.
Okay. Is it still doing that?
It's still cutting. I can hear you, but your cutting is like under the structure. Now,
all right.
I can read to you. I can read to you. Okay. I can read to you. Mujahid, what he said. He said that that king, he was the king of the east and the west. قال مجاهد ملك وملك الدنيا مشارقها ومغربها أربعة. Okay, four people owned the whole world at the time. Two were believers and two were infidels. Okay, the believers are Solomon, the son of David, and Alexander the Great. And the two infidels are Namrud and Bakhtasar, which is the king of Babylon. And Allah knows. When you don't know and Allah knows, why you tell me information you're not sure of it?
So none of them have said the same thing yet, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's
okay,
got a
this,
different opinion.
Yeah. يا محمد الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أي وجود ربه وذلك أنه أذكر أن يكون إلها غيره كما قال بعبده فرعون لملته. Now he's telling us, Ibn Kathir, that the man who argued with Abraham, who negotiated with Abraham, was actually Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he's going to tell us the verses which actually written in the Quran concerning Pharaoh and Moses. You see, Pharaoh, the one that he's mentioned here, is the same king which exists in Moses' time. Well, Moses was 400 years after Abraham. Abraham was already been dead. I hope you're getting the point. I hope you're getting the point.
So
there was some negotiation. You're cutting back, Chris. Say again what?
I'm sorry. So Abraham is watching a dispute with this and Pharaoh?
No, it's Muslim scholars are confused. They're trying to make sense out of the Quran, and they tell us who is this person whom Abraham was disputing with or arguing with. And the interpretation of Ibn Kathir keep going and going and going because he give you different opinion by different people, and he will end it by saying, Wallahu A'lam, and Allah knows best. He does not know. The great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir does not know who is Abraham. Why? Because Allah does not tell us in the Quran. If it's not written in the verse, Christy, you cannot interpret an empty information. If you don't have the verse in the Quran, you cannot interpret it. That makes you greater than Allah and Muhammad. If Ibn Kathir can give us information and fill us with information from the air, not from the Quran, that makes him greater than Allah and Muhammad. I have to believe that Ibn Kathir is the messenger of Allah, not Muhammad.
That's
he
right.
He's the prophet of Allah, not Muhammad.
He knows more, obviously.
Anyway, because our time is up, to make the story short and sweet, Abraham was negotiating with this guy. We do not know who is he. And he said, my Lord, give life and cause this. He said, and I do the same too. You know how he did it? He brought two people, and he gave an order, one of them to live, and the other one to be killed. And guess what? They killed one, and they kept the other one alive. He said, I'm like Allah. Whoever this person, if it's Pharaoh, if it's Namrud, if it is whatever his name, okay? He has the same authority and the same power like Allah. He causes someone to die and keeps the other one to live. So, okay. My Lord,
Bring the sun from the east. Bring it from the west if you can. Uh-oh. He put him in the corner, Christy. Abraham won the debate. Abraham won the argument. Abraham is the best because he smoked him. He made shish kebab out of him because that king, whatever he is, we don't know who is he, was not able to bring the sun from the west.
Wow. This is all so crazy.
We're going to stop here. If you do me a favor,
okay,
remind me to start next time from verse 258 and we take 259 because that's actually is written in the Bible. So far, what we have read about Abraham in the Quran today has nothing to do with anything about the Bible. None of what we have read have any attachment to the Bible. Even though he talked about the test, we know about Abraham's test, but we're going to read about that later in Quran chapter 37, verse 100. We're going to talk about that a little later. But the next verse here, which is verse 259, it is really what is written in Genesis account concerning the sacrifices which Abraham offered. So before he has the darkness and the frightening dream. But just remind me next time, 259, Christy, write a note somewhere there. We need to start
yeah,
from 258 or 259 so we can continue with our study. Thank you, Christy, for producing our show for tonight and for all the readings. Hopefully, prayerfully, you have a wonderful Mother's Day tomorrow. Enjoy the time with your daughters and your sons and your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all the family. And happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful mamas. God bless you, and may the Lord keep you safe and healthy. And we appreciate you. And we will talk again, Christy, next Saturday, unless you have something to share in the next minute. Feel free to say whatever you have in your heart.
Well, I'm so sorry about the problem with my microphone. I haven't had that problem for a long time, but it keeps starting.
No, your voice is good right now. Your voice is great. Thank you so much, everybody. Those who listen to us by the phone or those who listen to this archive later, please join us in the real life show so you can come up with some questions or comments. We would love to hear from you. God bless you all, and you have a wonderful day of worship tomorrow. Pray for this country. Pray for me. And I'll be next week in Florida, Lord's willing, so we'll have next show in Florida. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night, Christy. Appreciate you.
Thank you, everybody. God bless you all. Happy Mother's Day.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin, and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.